Blog Talk Radio.
One moment, please. I'm going to play a song for you. I hope you like it.
At the end of the day,
right, all right. I'm going to open up the mic. Prince Elron, are you there?
I am. Peace and blessings and greetings to everyone in the listening audience. Thank you again for tuning in. We want to thank Sister Yaina for creating and hosting the program. And it's a great day to be a conscious Hebrew Israelite.
Yes, it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have Prince Asiel is not here yet, but Brother Donny, are you there?
Shalom, shalom. This is Donny. How are you?
Shalom, shalom. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good for old man.
Yeah, I understand. Understand. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'd
like to say, while we're waiting for Prince Asiel to join us, I'd like to say that certainly there are a lot of things for us to consider in this season, maybe even more poignant than in some other seasons, but we have to take everything as a sign. For Israel, it's the signs and seasons, so we have to take everything for what it is, and that the awareness of our situation and the need for our situation to change drastically, quickly, I think is back on the front page, and we thank God for that.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we also understand that the circumstances are not always pleasant, but the suffering of the people cries out for a solution. And so we certainly have to be at the forefront of that because Judah, right, was to be the gathering point.
That
so
is correct.
The ideas, the creativity, the leadership, the energy would have to come from Judea. So we say that, again, these issues are before the world, once again, to decide and determine at this point what do we need to do, where do we need to go, but also to ask ourselves, where are we in terms of this? Some of us have been facing this our whole lives. Some of us are tired. Some are worn out. Some have been otherwise made of non-effect, and we have to answer these questions. We have to address these issues because they're not just going to go away on their own.
You're absolutely right. Hallelujah. You hit it right on the head. You know, we got to, see, it's on us now. It's on the Judites to bring this all together. It was your opportunity to set us up in the land, to make the nation of Yehuda and the children of Israel in the land. That was to be established by your venture. You understand? And now is the time, since the time is getting so close, because the Almighty is getting ready to call it all in. You understand? He's getting ready to show up. You understand? He's putting everything in place. You know, the nation of Yehuda and the better world. You understand? If they're based in the land, we got to coordinate matters now, put things in place. Because when the smoke clears, you understand, Jacob shall be saved, and gonna be a lot of that smoke that's got to clear. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Also like to say also, too, that these approaching holy days, this approaching holy day season, they're all important, but some of them appear to be or to have another level of significance, and I believe we're in that season at
okay.
this time because we continue to cry out and our issues are unaddressed to the point that we see significant change where we can draw hope and faith. So I believe a question, too, that needs to be put before us is how deep is our faith? Is our faith continuing to be substantiated? And what is the source of our strength? Because going forward, we have to have things that we can identify that seems worthy of all of the efforts and the sacrifices that we make. If we're not doing things that are helping us, that are furthering our cause, that are bringing us closer together, then we have to question why we're doing those things. And internal assessment and inspection is as relevant as the external inspections that we're doing right now. And it's a time for people to identify themselves, whether they're with those efforts or they're not. And it's as simple as that. There's no middle ground. Either we are for the things that are going to bring truth, justice, righteousness, peace, equity, or we're not. Either we're going to stand for them and represent them and do what's necessary to bring them about, or we're not. And if we're not, then we have to go somewhere and quietly sit down and shut up and continue to accept what has been handed us. So each individual has to recommit himself or identify himself on this front. There is no, you either are or you are not.
Well, if you're looking for a rebuttal, you're not going to get that out of me. Then I think you're absolutely right. But I think that there's a process here that the Almighty is working with. And what he's doing now, he's gathering us all together. We're, you know, everybody is in its place, you understand? We just got to figure out the intricate parts of pulling us all together, you understand? And everybody's transgression is on their head. There's no one person that can bring, no one apple can spoil a whole bunch anymore, not if it's done in the name of Yah, period. Everybody responsible for their own self. So you can mess it up if you want to, you understand, but it'll be upon your head. You understand? So it's a process. We in the process. Look at what's going on in the earth today. You understand? Each nation done pit itself against each one of those fornicating nations have pitted themselves against one another to destroy one another. The Almighty's cleaning up that land. He's making it feasible for us to go home in peace. And the one brothers that's in there, we got to coordinate all of this stuff. That's what we got to do. You understand? And trust in the Almighty. The Almighty is the one that's inspiring and making this. This is all about the Creator. It's not about you and me. What we think don't even matter. Just take a look at what's going on in the earth, and you'll see. You understand? There's more hurricanes and more earthquakes than ever. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Hallelujah.
I would have to agree with you that if you look at every aspect of life, that a profound change is taking place across all fronts. Now, they have people who come on and try to explain it or try to excuse it or try to give us some plausible explanation as to why these things are happening. But for those of us who are faith-based, you know, we have another feeling about these things because in terms of how God operates, how God works, how God intervenes, and how things change, we have to look to nature. We have to look to the deteriorating relationships between people. We have to look at the wars. We have to look at the conflicts. We have to look at the economy. We have to look at the education. We have to look at the communications. We have to look at everything, and everywhere we look, we see problems, we see trouble, and we see worsening conditions. Now, for those of us who feel that these things are used against us, worsening conditions in our favor, to deteriorate, to fall away, to be done away with is our hope. So we have no complaints there. But when we look at, we have to examine relationships, let's say, with our family, with ourselves first. With our families, with our neighbors, with our communities, with our regions, and examine those relationships and see if we have the kind of understanding where as things fall apart, new and better things can come together and replace them.
Shalom?
Yes, sir.
Oh, were you finished?
Yes, sir. Well, I'm sorry.
I was doing something else at the time.
Oh,
yeah.
I understand. I'm just saying that. The issue is okay. It's one thing for things to fall apart and to fall away, and we hope so. Based on the things that are not beneficial, helpful, or uplifting to the community, we certainly wish and hope and pray that those things fall apart, and they are falling apart before our very eyes. But also, we have to question whether we have the kind of relationships amongst ourselves, the kind of cooperation amongst ourselves, where we can come up with creative, viable alternatives to replace that that's being done away with, because we still need guidelines, we still need ordinances, we still need rules on which to govern ourselves by and to interact with each other on. And I think now would be a good time for us to reexamine and reinforce those. Let's say the collaboration between the Yehuda Nation and Better World. We need as many and more of those kind of collaborations and cooperation as possible. People coming together, putting their ideas together, and
making this happen.
The kind of society that
making it happen.
That we feel, yes, sir. Yeah. That we feel is necessary and worthy, and that it is, and that is that God would want us to have in terms of our behavior, our institutions, our education, our economics. We're living in a world where, particularly in the Western world, they try to remove God and those principles away from so-called affairs of state and business, right? And so we remove the human aspect or the spiritual aspect or the soulful aspect, and so people become commodities and become marginalized and become less and less significant in anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the world that we are bringing forth with the understanding of God, certainly God would have to be in business, in communication, in education, in politics, in everything that we do.
That is correct. You understand? You know, it's all about the Almighty, you understand? And all we have to do is follow instruction, you understand? We go in the right direction. We moving in the right vein, you understand? He's not going to put the cart before the horse, you understand, and have us out there stranded. He say he's going to bring us home, you understand what I'm saying? And when he brings us home, we're going to be joyful. I can't think of one day, if I really gave it a hard look, in the captivity that we've been here, have I been joyful? You understand? It's always been a struggle. You understand? It's always been sitting on the fence. I mean, sitting on pins and needles. You understand? Wondering if it's going to be my daughter, my son, my mother, or somebody that's going to get murdered, you understand, in this society. This is not a real society here. This was just meant for us to get a chastisement and to gain some stick-to-itiveness to the Almighty's law, statutes, and ordinances. You understand? That's, you know, so we still in the punishment corner, but we coming out of it. We still the valley of the dry bones, man, but we shaking off all of that stuff. We gradually putting ourselves up, and we right on time as to how the Almighty's, in the Almighty's timeline. And I'm not saying that I know his timeline. I'm just saying that he's got everything moving and coordinated. He got it all coordinated. You understand? So we go in the right direction. You know, you are absolutely right. Those things got to be sat down to the table and talked about. But first things first. We got to start trusting in one another and banding together, you know, the Nation of Yehuda, you understand, the Better World. We got to get that cohesiveness, You understand? We got to work in coordination with one another. You understand? We got to do that. You understand? And it's on us to do it. We can't even think about nobody else. Do all you can. Give up. I mean, give out. Don't give up. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we certainly agree with a total agreement. And there's a certain peace that comes when we can agree, when we can see things and understand things in agreement. And there's a mind power that comes with that.
That is
there's
correct.
Another level of ability that comes with that. See, being one or oneness and the ability to agree, to sit down and agree and be reasonable and to be cooperative, et cetera, it opens up your ability or gives you a level of power that you wouldn't otherwise have that comes with conflict. With conflict, you are demobilized. With conflict, you are demoralized. With conflict, you're neutralized.
Mm-hmm.
But with cooperation now.
That is correct.
With respect.
That is all of these things
that are needed going forward.
Well, you know how we gain respect in this society here, you understand, that we know as people in this society here, we gain respect by coming together and working together.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we gain respect. Right now, we just run in our mouths, and I'm not just talking about you or me. I'm just saying that all of that stuff is just rhetoric until we have to start to work together. That's when we start respecting everybody, you understand? Everybody gets a little bit of respect, you understand, because they're not, the unknown, because of the unknown. But when we gain true respect is when we're working together and we're all working in the same direction. We all trying to build a nation, the nation. You understand what I'm saying? It's all going to come to pass, man. The Almighty got a timeline. You understand? He said he was going to turn our captivity right before our eyes. You understand? And about 100 years ago, you can look at it from back that way on up, and you can see that the captivity, you understand, of that that chattel slavery was diminishing. Now, we can't stop the punishment. That's got to go its whole course, you understand? And until the end of this, these people that hold us captive, we will still be under their governance, you understand? So it's turning slowly, you understand? And just imagine if he had to give us all the understanding at one time. We won't be in the land 2 minutes. Hallelujah.
Yeah, absolutely right, Brother Donnie. That line upon line, precept upon precept, and that in rebuilding and repairing, you have to start with the foundation
mm-hmm.
so that anything that comes up or built on top of it would have a chance to be able to withstand any outward force or even any internal force, because all forces are not necessarily external.
Mm-hmm.
And that the understanding necessary to address these issues. And I use for an example the situation in Ferguson. Some of the civil rights leaders were saying that all of this should motivate people to vote or motivate people to register to vote. Now,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was something that we felt that we had done and had acquired.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to redo that, or why is that seem to be as effective or a solution when we're at the same situations 50 years later that we were 50 years before? I'm trying to understand the reasoning of the mind that put that forth.
Well, you know, see, those guys was only there to sustain our existence. You understand? We all know that they can't do nothing, and what they say out their face is crazy. But they were only put in place to keep them from totally annihilating us. You understand? All through the time that we've been here, Marcus Garvey and before him and all of those people that was put in place was only put in place so that we could sustain our living till this day and time. It's on the nation of Yehuda and the nation of Israel to bring this all into perspective. We the people of righteousness. It says in the scripture somewhere that righteousness is supposed to spring out from the four corners of the earth. We the only people that could do that. We have to build everything that we got. We got to build it on the name of Yah, and He'll bless our hand. Trust me. He's been doing it for me ever since I've been knowing Him. You understand? And all before then, He was grooming me. You understand? So it's just a matter of us just staying in the way. Got to stay in the way. In the way that the Almighty should have you to go. Hallelujah.
Brother Donnie, a question. When you say righteousness, can you break that down for me, the righteousness?
Well, the way it's written.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Shalika, I'm sorry. It's the way it's written in the scripture. Righteousness. You understand? Truth. You understand? The Ten Commandments, you understand? All of those things got to be followed, you understand? That's the righteousness that's going to spring out, you understand? You know, it goes all the way down into the grocery, you understand what I'm saying? How we produce our grocery, you understand? All of those things is factored in, you understand what I'm saying, when we talk about righteousness, you understand? Just weights and just measures, man. You understand? You know, and it says in the scriptures that when we do go home, righteousness, you understand, there will be no unrighteousness, you understand, amongst the children of Israel. Now, you're going to have people, the laws are still in place. So you're going to have people that clown and do their number, you understand, and think that there is no penalty. We got to follow all the laws, statutes, and ordinances. But it's a process here. Because when he said that he was going to, Zephaniah, when he talked through the mouth of Zephaniah and he said for us to gather ourselves, it's more to it than just gather. You understand? We got to be able to function among one another. You understand? Now, in this day and time, you understand, the nation of Yehuda's got to be building up the government structure. You understand? Putting together, the intricate parts of it. You understand? With the help, you understand, of the better world. We all working together in this here. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's going to be the nation of Yehuda, and the other tribes are going to gather around us. You understand? It's all about us doing what we're supposed to do, and we're doing it. We gathering together. We putting together stuff, man. You understand what I'm saying? We can't put the cart before the horse. Hallelujah.
Agreed. And where two are gathered together in my name, I shall be there also.
So hallelujah.
Not necessarily the multitude that we're looking for to consider ourselves effective either. Those of us who are on the phone and in the listening audience, according to biblical math, are more than enough to affect a profound change. And I would like us to consider those things in our thinking, in our hearing, to consider ourselves powerful enough, to consider ourselves blessed enough to consider ourselves to be have the authority of the God of righteousness and truth to begin to implement these things, okay, to affect our circumstances. Let's start with that idea, to take on that swag. Let's get some swag about it, you know?
That is correct.
And go forth. Other ideas, other programs, other presentations, people are boldly and proudly representing their positions all around us.
Hallelujah.
Now, right or wrong, well, that would be determined by whatever your standard of righteousness is. This is why I ask you to define our, the standard that we're talking about, because everybody ain't talking about the same thing. See,
okay.
To some people, what's happening is right for them, we're in the position that we need to be in. So to them, they don't see the problem. They say, what's wrong? You know, it's never been any different for since we've known the Israelites to be here, to be in any different position, you know, to be exploited.
I'm going to tell you this here.
By us.
Okay, I'm going to tell you this, is that Almighty bless who he want to bless.
Uh-huh.
You judge whether you got the right road in how he favors you. That's what we're trying to gain now, the favor of the Almighty. We gain the favor of the Almighty. There's nothing that we can't touch that won't turn to gold. You understand? That means that, you understand, when we start doing something and putting things together like we're doing right now, the Almighty will show us favor. We can't even consider nobody else. They'll all be under the nation of Yehuda before it's all over. You understand? Because, you understand, the Almighty's going to show us favor. And that's what he's doing now. He's gathering us together. You guys, that, I mean, not you guys. Don't get me wrong, man. I say the wrong things out of my mouth.
No, nothing wrong. I understand. No need. I mean, we're clear. We're on the same page.
Yeah. The better world is primarily, you understand, the key. You understand? Because we got to organize and coordinate all of this stuff that we're trying to do. You understand? Put together. I don't know the intricate parts so well. You understand? Because I'm a big picture guy. I see the big picture. You understand? Because in the end of matters, we all going to be on the same page. Trust me.
Yeah. So, you know, hey, the saying that of being blessed and highly favored, you know, hey, how you doing? Oh, how you feel? I'm blessed and highly favored, and that's what I'm claiming, brother.
Hallelujah.
I'm claiming that, and I feel God has blessed me, and I declare it. And that the detail guys, you know, that the detail guys are around, but you big picture guys, we need you big picture guys, you know, big thinkers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We need big picture people, too, but detail people are they're around, too. So,
yeah.
Know, again,
I'm willing to do anything that I possibly can to make it happen. You understand what I'm saying? And you know what? I've never been so joyful in all the days that I've been on this earth to know that the Almighty coming to get us in a little while. We getting ready to go home peacefully. He said that we're going to be able to lie down, you understand what I'm saying, and feel comfortable about lying down. In the whole time that I've been here that I can remember, I can't remember a time where I wasn't on the edge. Right here in this country.
Yeah, agreed. As I said, in the days of these kings.
Huh?
The Lord, in the days of these kings, shall the Lord God of heaven establish him a king.
That is correct. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Whew. See, you know, one thing that I found out now as I was, you know, you understand, it's been revealed to me through the Almighty is that, you understand, the Almighty has never came back void. None of his stuff that he ever did in that whole book there, did his voice come back void. If he said he was going to do something, trust me, he did it. So he said that he was going to bring us back into the land flowing with milk and honey. And what we're doing now is we're putting everything in place. There's a pattern that he's working off of, you understand? He's straightening out that land, you understand, getting rid of all of them fornicators. You understand what I'm saying? So that we can go into that land. And that's, man, I'm overjoyed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mr.
Hyena?
Huh? Oh.
I was checking for Sister Hyena.
Okay.
Yes, sir, I'm right here.
Yes, ma'am. I don't know if anybody, if any of the listeners would like to call in or like to join the conversation at this point, they're more than welcome. And likewise, we extend that to you, too. You're more than welcome, of course, to be a part of the conversation. Also, while we're waiting for Prince Osceola to join us.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I did have a caller here, but I think they may have had to hang up. But if you're still out there, 757, please feel free to call back in because we'll get you right on the line. But, like, I mean, I'm disagreeing with what everyone said. It's a joyful time. It's very exciting. You know, and there always has to be controversy, you know. So the Most High knows what he's doing, you know, and he's going to – his word is not going to come back void. It's not.
Hallelujah.
the contradictions, the hypocrisy has been exposed to the entire world, but to a new generation now has been exposed to this behavior, this way of governance, this unrighteousness that has permeated the earth that were and refined and disguised in 2014, but again, it's been exposed explicitly, and it leaves no doubt to anybody watching as to exactly what it is. And so we thank God for that.
Hallelujah.
Because we could have talked for years and know, well, you know, we'd have been put in the category, conspiracy theorists, haters, all of the any other negative terminology to try to dismiss the truth. But the truth now is so plain, as the scripture says, a fool can't err. There's no way you can look at it and come up with any other conclusion except that.
That is correct.
Something wrong with all of that.
Yeah. Well, you know, see, I try not to look at what the other nations are doing. You know why? Because I know that the Almighty is working. You understand? If you look at what's happening in the earth, man, you understand? The Iranian, I mean, no, the ISIS people, you understand, is going to fall on Jordan. You understand? Mitzrayim.
Right.
And Syria, you understand? They're going to take, and then they're going to fall on Judah. I mean, then they're going to fall on the European that's in the land now, you understand? You understand? So, and the Almighty, they already exposed them guys by letting everybody know that they say that they're Khazarians. And they moved 100,000 families back to Ukraine. You understand? So they're coming out of that land. Almighty said that. You understand what I'm saying? So all of this is playing in the prophecy. And see, once you know what the Almighty going to do, it brings that different kind of joy. So, you know, you understand, to know that he's getting ready to bring us out of this land. All we got to do is stay in place. You understand? And put together this government structure. Because when it all clears, and the smoke clears, and the dust clears, you know, we got to be standing strong. We can't just go have everybody just fall on over into that land. It'll be helter-skelter.
I agree.
You understand? Yeah. It's just, and listen, we can't say that we can't do it. You know why we can't say that? Because we the one that put this stuff together from the outhouse to the White House. We've been in every industry. So, you understand, there's no way we can't say we can't do it. We got to just have the people, put the people in place and get the blessings from the Almighty. The Almighty going to make us grow. You understand? Sometimes, man, it don't take a lot of money to get everything done. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of money and a little bit of effort. We got to come back to the Almighty. He ain't got to come back to us.
That's great. you mentioned that situation, and I think as daily it grows and daily there's more and more attention being brought to the fact that there, again, once again, in that region of the world, there's great turmoil, great controversy, and people contending for the right. As it was prophesied, there would be no peace until he whose right it was stopped and restored to his rightful place. America left Iraq and got their back. They've finally gone back. You know, they pulled out of Iraq with the intention of not going back, and now they've been forced or pulled back into that arena again. Such a recent situation with Israel and Gaza, ongoing situation. Every few years, you have that turmoil. Okay, the attention of the world is focused to that region of the world once again. And when you look at that region and you examine that region, the people of that region, the history of that region, you have to talk about Israelites. You have to talk about Israel. You have to talk about the prophecies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You have to be on the lookout for the return of the people.
That is correct.
Not only as us as believers understanding that, but it was government policy in America to be on the lookout for those things. In fact, they were trying to prevent those things from happening actively, then and now.
Yep.
That is correct. So then I have a question for you guys. So what do you say to the pastors that have been teaching the rhetoric all these years, and now all of a sudden this knowledge has hit the land about us being the original people of the scriptures, about us returning back to our homeland, and all of the things? How do you think they feel when they've been teaching one thing for so many years, and then all of a sudden this hits the land, and then this is being taught everywhere? Do you think that they're, and then my next question is, do you think that they're teaching their people that we're talking rhetoric?
This is what I was talking about at the top of the show, and that the will of everybody will be examined. See, those brothers and sisters who were sincere about what they were saying were just misled or had the wrong information or misunderstanding. When once they get a better understanding or they get the truth, they're going to represent that. But those who that was not their agenda in the first place are not going to change anything.
You know, I believe that they'll get the chance to make the decision.
Exactly. They can choose.
Because then, you know, and... You know, some of it's only going to be a remnant. You know what the Almighty said? He said, though we may be sands of the sea, only a remnant shall return. Think that remnant going to be, but only, and the way that those so-called Jews is building up over there, it might be pretty big. Because we're going to take over all of that stuff when they get out of there. It's going to be a few little dead bodies running around there we're going to have to bury for 7 years. You understand? But we're going back home, and we're going to live comfortably, and we're going to be all right. All that material and stuff that they're going to leave over there, those machines, we're going to use them to build up the waste places. Hallelujah.
Answer to your question, this is the situation I see it as a literal application of the wheat and the chaff, or the separation between those whom believed and were sincere and those who were not. Because any of us, you know, who say that we have a conscience or that we have a heart or that we're trying to do the right thing, when you do something wrong and it's shown to you that you're wrong or that you've offended somebody, then we also instructed that you have to go to that person and apologize to that person or to seek forgiveness from that person for your previous behavior. And that's going to determine what kind of heart these people have. When you've been proven to be wrong, can you then embrace the truth? Because it's still an opportunity for you to show the right way to go when it's been proven that you've been on the wrong path. Okay?
Right.
See, when you're on the wrong path, the first thing you got to do is turn around and come back. All right? And then get on the right path, you may be 100 miles out of the way. You got to come back and then go down. So I see it as an opportunity for everybody to let people know what their real or their true heart is. When you're wrong and you can admit that you're wrong, then there's a forgiveness that we're able to find under those circumstances. But when you continue and it's obvious that you're wrong, but you're allowing something to keep you from coming back to the right, then wrong is your choice at that point.
Okay. I believe honestly that you're going to get the opportunity to choose righteousness, you understand, or to choose wickedness.
Right.
Pretty much. I ain't seen nothing yet that walks contrary to the Almighty, and we can consider it righteousness. You understand? So all of
that's
wicked. Hello?
That's true. I agree with you. And that's the biggest, you know, that's the biggest revelation I think that I've had here recently, and the light bulb just went off. Even though I know the pathway of righteousness, you know, it took me a long time to realize that really and honestly, there is no righteousness in the earth other than Israel, because as much as we try to hold on to religion and the denominations of religion, when you look at how they are contrary to the word of the Most High Yah, and you understand, you know, that all of the things, it was another one of those aha moments, and I keep having them. Even though I think I have arrived and I can see it clearly, I continue to keep having those aha moments like, wow, you know, this is still not what we intended to do. And you're absolutely right, because, you know, the scripture says, choose this day whom you're going to serve. You know, and it's going to be very, very difficult for a lot of people to be able, and especially some pastors who have the status and the wealth and the reputation and all of the things to admit that they're wrong, because that's going to change things for them. So I agree with you. I agree wholeheartedly.
Right. I mean, did you remember the story where they said it's easier for a rich man to come through the eye of a needle than to admit and to come to the truth,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is no gray area. We don't have no gray area. You understand? We do not have a gray area, and there's no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes.
That's true. I mean, you know, yeah. For instance, I went to get something to eat the other day, and the guy asked me at the restaurant. He says, "Do you want to buy some Halloween coupons?" And I said, "Excuse me." He said, "We have Halloween coupons." I said, "I don't celebrate Halloween." He says, "Well, I know you don't. You may not, but don't you have grandkids?" I said, "They don't celebrate Halloween either." I said, "It's a pagan holiday. We don't celebrate Halloween." And you know, and I thought it to be strange, because I know a lot of churches that celebrate Halloween for their children. They have Halloween parties at the church to keep the children from dressing up and going out in the street. And it's like, do you really realize what you're doing? I mean, it's just, when you really just lay it all out on the table, it's like all of the righteousness that we thought was righteousness, that we, you know, it's just too much. Sometimes you just think of it like, wow, you know, there's really no righteousness in the earth. When you talk about the parallel of good and evil, you know, you got the good side and then you have the evil side, and one is supposed to always a battle against the other one. But when you really look at it, the only thing that we have in the earth that's a light at all is Israel, because the people who say they know God, they don't know Yah.
That is correct. That is absolutely and positively correct. You know, the Almighty is powerful beyond compare. You understand? He made it so that if you Anything that's contrary to the Almighty's law, you understand, is wicked and mean and evil. Why we can't do that is because what happens is we can't go beyond that, because what happens is, man, we start worshiping other gods. It's so easy for us to go back, go through that. You understand? It all leads back to them worshiping other deities. And he's a
devil. Exactly. I mean, even the point she made about Halloween, that's deity worship. You're worshiping those dead spirits, those that are dead, and bringing the spirit back of those demons with Halloween. They set a day aside, you know, for remembrance of that. If any of those days, if you say Easter, it's the same thing. If you go back and you check, and these things are not hard to find. Everybody's got a cell phone. All you have to do, if you look up Easter, it's going to say asterisk. The goddess of fertility.
Yep.
So, well, wait a minute, that's a god. If we worship that, we dress up, we go out, we have special church services for this deity, right? Halloween is about certain deities that were condemned, and the scriptures that, you know, condemned do not follow these people and their ways or worship their deities, because they do exist, okay? And they keep them alive through these ceremonies. Keep them alive.
They do.
Yeah.
Okay?
You know, one thing... Yeah, Tumshi.
The Christmas, Halloween, Easter, those that come to mind, where you're directly talking about deity worship. Openly, people celebrate, and now they've made it mainstream, and if you don't do it, you're seeing it strange. Or people want to question you. Or you got to get some pushback. Or you got to explain. You literally got a battle.
That is correct.
And not only that, it's become so woven into the fabric of the society. I mean, there's an economy where the people look forward to it because they get days off from work. I mean, they got all of these things reinforce the idea. You get days off from work. You get Christmas pay. You get a Christmas present, you have a Christmas party, and so you love you some Christmas. Okay? So Easter, oh my goodness, you get dressed up on Easter, and they say Jesus arose and all of that. Okay, so they tie that in with it, you know, so that's good and evil. Bundle together and bought that package. Halloween, give the kids candy and sweets and treats free. You just go around and say trick-or-treat, etc. Okay? April Fool's Day. If you check the history on April Fool's Day was the day that was set aside when they were making the transition from old world cultures and the belief in the God of Israel to the situation that they have today. On April Fool's Day, you could do anything you wanted to those people that say April Fool's, and it would be excused. That's the whole premise behind April Fool's. Oh, it was just a joke. It was just a prank. But in the early days, they would do brutal things to people. They would do. They still do some things today. You hear about stories of people throwing acid on people, or their razor blades in the candy, or their poison in the candy, or people trying to abduct kids and children. Still associated with that day, all right, or with those days, or with those ideas, and with those celebrations. But April Fool's Day was the day she could abuse those who still tried to hold on to the belief of the God of Israel. They would be ridiculed. You could do all kinds of things, and there would be no retribution. So all of these things have a history that's as close as your phone, and everybody's got a phone. All you have to do is want to know. If you want to know, you can find out. It ain't no secret. The problem is, or the situation is, once that's out there, then it becomes choice. Okay, whether you're going to change when you find out or you're going to continue to do it. How many of us know better than the Christmas myth, but we keep going with it? That means we've chosen.
No,
we don't stand up against Christmas. We just go with the program.
And we as
well,
most...
Go ahead. I just want to let you guys know. Go ahead, Brother Donnie. We have a caller, area code 410. As soon as Brother Donnie... No, as soon as
let
you finish, I'll get to him. Eric, so you want me to go ahead and let him on?
Yes.
Please.
Okay. Eric, hold on. Let me get this. Area code 410, go ahead, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom, everybody. This is Yehoshua. How's
it going? Shalom, Yehoshua. How are you?
Hey, I'm excellent. Thank you. One of the things I wanted to comment on is about the church or Christianity. Many folk, particularly amongst us, don't really understand what Christianity is. Christianity is a machine. It's a culture with a religious base, which has no real ideals because it's interpreted based upon a particular denomination or a particular movement. That's why it's no consistency. It's not founded on law, which is consistent. It doesn't change, just like Yah. That's why he said when the new covenant comes, that law will be within each everyone, all of our hearts. We won't have to teach who Yah is anymore because we all will know. That being said, understanding that Christianity is a culture, that's one of the things that the East, particularly what they call so-called terrorists, are resisting. They're resisting the influence of Western culture, i.e. Christianity, because Christianity brings about a value system that has no value, because you could do whatever you want to, be anything you want to. That's why nowadays you have gay churches. You have this movement of one of the biggest evangelist pastors at one time that I knew personally that started a movement called Inclusion Ministries. Basically,
okay.
Where it's because, you know, Christianity was based upon heaven and hell, but no longer is anybody condemned. You can come as you are. Anything's acceptable. Everything's acceptable.
Okay.
So that being said, that's the new movement. Then you have this churches where people can come to church butt naked. Gay pastors. All this type of thing is going on because there's no law. When one understands that, it's a machine. When I was in ministry, I was trained. Mind you, I was trained during and ordained during the times of a great movement that was taking place in the black segment of Christianity when there was an awakening. At that time, that's when the kingdom participated with the dean of theology at Howard University and helped devise that African Heritage Study Bible. It was at that time black pastors were studying the black presence in the Bible. All kinds of authors came out with books and all this stuff. At that time, the revelation was that we were Cush. But as a matter of fact, it was a movement, because at one time, point in case, that people didn't even see that we had any place in the Bible. Everything was white. So-called yarmulke-wearing folk, they thought they were the chosen. So when they first saw in the book of Acts about the eunuch was black, that made people excited, so people started digging. Then all of a sudden, Fred Price, at the time, who was the honorary Negro, was the biggest black pastor in the country in the 90s. And other black pastors wanted to be like that. In comes the prosperity movement. I was in a room when I heard a white pastor tell the pastor that I was serving under as the elder and a youth minister. He said, if you want your church to grow, you got to get these white boys in there, but you got to stop this black message. I heard it. I know it. In comes the prosperity movement. And with that came all sorts of perversions. And out went that revelation. At that same time, the hip-hop was going towards a conscious type of thing. After that stopped, gangster rap came in. Everything had a chain reaction towards the negative, if one could realize that. Because if you remember in the early 90s, the black hip-hop guys were wearing kufis, they were wearing medallions, unks, and all this kind of stuff. It was conscious stuff being said. But now look at it. It's all visible because, as the scripture says, Satan has deceived the entire world. If we don't understand, that's why the scripture says, with all our getting, get understanding. If we don't understand the machine that we're dealing with, we're going to be constantly fighting the wind. That's why it's imperative upon us that we live this thing and do this thing and remain focused on the mission at hand.
Hallelujah.
Because it's easily get distracted with the folly out there, because when you understand the deception that is so deadly, deeply embedded in the minds of our people, because remember, the warfare is in our mind. That's why we must have a Yah mind, an elevated way of thinking, because that will enable you to filter out the trash and be able to discern evil right in front of your face when it's masquerading as light.
Okay.
When you don't have that and you're allowing yourself to be distracted by all the different things out there, you'll get off course and you'll start sinking. We can't afford to do that in this hour. It's imperative that we stay on the mission. When Yah told Moshe in Exodus 4:21, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Let him come worship, work for me.
Okay.
Our mission is to worship Yah. Worship is not what we think we do, what we learned in the church on our knees on Sunday.
Okay.
It's an ongoing thing where we're working for Yah. We got to be about that. Now, if you want our people to see something, you want our people to leave the church, let's present them something tangible.
Hallelujah.
Where they see us working together. It doesn't have to take a lot. In the closing, we looked at Gideon's army. It wasn't a whole lot. They did a lot. But it was
that
a few with cooperation and unity. When those lepers were dying and starving at the same time, sitting on a hill, they said, why sit here and die? We're going to die of starvation, or if we go down there and try to get some food, they're going to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
But because they trusted Yah and did what Yah said, Yah, not only he scared the whole camp, they fled. They not only got healed and delivered and saved, but they also got rich. And not only that, they went and told the rest of the nation.
Hallelujah.
We got job to do. We can't afford to be distracted by everybody else's battle. As the nation of Yehuda, we've got to build and be that beacon of light in the midst of darkness. Just like the scripture says, darkness covers the people. Covers the world. Gross darkness covers the people. We got to be the light.
That is correct.
That's true.
And light is simply energy. Energy is motion. We got to be about the work. If they want to go march and do all this thing, look, that's all they know to do. Remember, they're deceived. But we know better. We got to be about the worship of Yah, work of Yah.
That is correct.
And those
Hallelujah.
People will leave. And let me say this lastly. And I said that before. I apologize, Slika.
Well, all right.
Our people are some sincere people in these churches, giving up their hard-earned money. They're sincere. But they have not seen an option. We got to be that option, that alternative. They don't want to be deceived. The funeral parlor is the greatest business enterprise in the black community. Because the church is nothing but a doctrine of death. They only teach you, funerals take place in the church every week. Multiple times every week. Because how in the world can you say Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that you might have life and life more abundantly? I asked the pastor this. Okay, I said, I hear what you're saying, but if a devoted Christian dies unexpectedly, who won?
Okay.
Satan or Jesus?
That is correct.
I said, think about it. I said, if heaven is your destination, this person graduated to a better place, why isn't everybody jumping off a cliff to help and be with them? I said, because it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
But our minds have been erased. Our minds have been stolen. We have to get our minds back, and we who know better should do better. We need to think better, which will produce greater actions and activity. We got to stay focused and stay the course. Selah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Brother Hoshi Jones, we appreciate that. That was well said. I feel your energy. Okay? I feel that energy. I feel the power of God in your spirit. And I'm grateful and I'm touched by that.
Hallelujah.
And you're absolutely right. Everything that you said was absolutely right. And this is how we know that God has not forsaken us, okay? He's not forsaken us, that we can hear the clarity, that we can hear and know that the spirit of discernment is present, that we hear and feel that understanding is there, that righteousness, that love is of God is there. And this energizes everyone else. And this is what we have to do for each other. Like you said, it's energy, and we have to pass it around. It's not something we can get and put it under a bushel basket. If they don't put your light under a bushel basket, or don't let your energy and your understanding just be for you. You know, you say, well, I understand, or I got the spirit of, or whatever, is supposed to be shared. And we really appreciate that. That was on time. But I would like to add, too, when you were saying about the funerals, it's even so, we become so conditioned to it, to they have it now where you can just drive through. You ain't got to get out of your car. You can drive through and view the body or sign the book or whatever and keep on moving. You know, it's regular business. It's a part of society, and if you're too busy, you know, you can just drive through, sign in, and keep rolling. Yeah. Also, I'd like to add to what Sister Yaina was saying, or to add to that about this the Christianity aspect of things, and even to address what Brother Yehoshua was saying. You know, in Korea, in North Korea, in the last couple of days, it's been in the news that they've been saying that there are people who are detained there, and they did a news program, and they gave the reason that they were being detained. The reason they were being detained, they were being held, was supposedly that they had tried to leave some Bibles strategically in their hotel room, or that they were trying to practice Christianity in North Korea. Now, the point that Brother Yehoshua was making is not the point that the news report was making, because the idea of them is that for them, Christianity brought in by other people has not been good for their people. So they're on guard for that. But the news report was giving the impression that these people are so barbaric, so terroristic, so hateful, so anti-God that they won't even allow people to lead Bibles and to have Christian services and whatever. Now, that's two different stories, two different things. But we know the reality is that they're exactly right in what they're saying. For them, Christianity came, and the next thing you know, they were powerless. You know, mm-hmm. Their land was taken over, their resources, their people were abused, et cetera, et cetera. And that's been the same model that has been practiced around the world. But when we look at it on the news, as the reporters give the story, it's like the evil North Koreans trying to prevent free speech or freedom of religion, et cetera. Okay, so we know that, again, with understanding and with the spirit of discernment, we have to have it in order to be able to tell the truth from a lie and to discern those, or to be able to tell the difference between those who profess to be of God but are not against those who truly are. And it was said that in the last days it would be so difficult to tell that who's who in some situations, that only the angels, or only those with the highest spirit of understanding and discernment, will be able to tell you who's who, because there was some instruction. The tare was to be tied and burned, all right, and the wheat to be separated so that they could go strong and in the correct manner, or in the manner which God had prescribed.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hallelujah.
That is very true. That is very true.
Yeah. One thing I want to add. Oh, I wanted to say this before I get sidetracked. You understand? They got a thing that they're doing here in America. They have the FDA. FDA, is that what it is? The Food and Drug Peoples? They have agreed to them being able to do this thing. They taking chickens and sending them to China. That's 4,000 miles away. And the Chinese is going to send us back, do the processing, and they're going to send them back to America. You understand? Now, that's not a good thing. You understand? Not for Americans, because we all know that Chinese have those inferior products. You understand? And they ain't going to do nothing but use our chickens and send us back their stuff. They did it with the tire industry. You understand? They gave us they sent us back all of their dilapidated tires. You understand? Recapped. You understand? And they don't have good products. You understand? And so, you know, it's going to be terrible. It's a terrible thing. You understand that they going to try to do to us. I just heard that on the news here.
That, you know, those kinds of arrangements substantiate the fact, while they have the majority of people talking about things in terms of nations or national interests, it's really a global interest that's being acted upon. And people make arrangements and they make deals in their own interests, you know, not necessarily in the national interest. So people conspire together to do things for profit. I don't imagine that they're not doing it for profit. So,
sure, they're doing it for profit.
Right. These are the things that we have to be on the lookout for and that we have to talk about and to bring to the attention of those people who we can speak to, or that we can read this into their hearing, that these kinds of efforts and these kinds of things going on. Because, I mean, because what happens is you start asking questions. You say, now, wait a minute now. I know they've got chicken processing plants around here, and I know that they're laying people off and saying, you know, okay, a lot of people have lost their jobs, or they said that as they get more and more mechanized, they need less and less people. Mm-hmm. How is it that you need to send chickens all the way to China for processing and to have them come back when China, you know, as
the not even going to tell you that you're not even going to know it come from China. When you go to the grocery store, it's not going to have no label on it. That's what the lady said on the news. I couldn't believe it.
Yes.
So this, you know, one thing for sure is that we need to take care, handle our business. You understand? Right here and right now, we need to start trying to put things together so that we could eat, because they getting ready to put the squeeze on us. And if we ain't got nothing set up, man, we going to perish. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Listen, any other callers on the line?
One moment. Let me check here real quick and see if someone has pushed one. Anyone out there, we have quite a few callers on the line that are listening. If you have a question, a comment, or concern, please feel free to push one. We want to hear what your opinion is or what you have to say. I feel like that, like Brother Yehoshua said, you know, it's nation building time. We have to stay focused. We have to continue to build the nation. We have to continue to provide a feasible and solid foundation so that when the awakening comes, because it's coming, you know, and that's one of the things that the Most High shared with me when I came out of Christianity, is that the awakening for those that are involved in the other religions that are serving other deities, he is getting ready to give them the opportunity to make the choice, and that we have to provide a solid foundation for them to come into, understanding everything from culture to language to everything that pertains to us, to covenant, everything that's possibly there, so that they understand, because you have to think about the dry bones waking up in the state that they were in, and when they were fully clothed with all of the bones and the muscles and the tissues, and they were able to talk, they said, our bones are dry, and our hope is gone, and we've been separated from our parts. So psychologically, they were in a situation where it was like, my God, look at what we've gone through. And we thought that we were all right. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And a lot
exactly.
of people feel that they're all right, you know, because I felt like it. I was like, you know, when I came from church, I was like, I had an experience with God. Everything is going to be okay. I know that when I go there and I experience that place, when I get among the saints and I have the opportunity to cry out and to call his name and do whatever, everything is going to be okay. You know, and when you realize, and it shocked me. I was like, whoa, when he really, because you know what I kept hearing the Spirit say, even in Christianity, as much, and I was in it. I was not one of those people that played with it. I was in it. And I kept saying, you know, Lord, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I heard it all the time. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I said, but I do keep you. I don't understand what you're saying, because I do love you. I'm in church. I'm paying my tithes. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I'm in ministry. I devote time, talent, and treasure. But I love you, I love you. And every time I would say that, I would hear it in my spirit. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I'm like, well, what am I not doing? You know, and I'm like, but I'm here. What commandments am I not keeping? And he would say it every time. He would say, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And one day I said, okay, that's it. Show me what it is. And when he started peeling it back, I was like, oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I thought that I had faced it all and seen it all until the other day when I still had an aha moment, like, wow. Because when you look at it, like I said, they feel like that they're doing everything they know how to do that's right. But when the Most High really opens your eyes and realizes that there is no righteousness in it, that the only righteousness is us, and we're still waking up out of the coma.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
We really are. We're still waking up out of the coma. I mean, you know, and I had a brother tell me, I was like, well, what's wrong with the people? Why aren't they? He said that some people wake up mad. Some people wake up hungry. Some people wake up lethargic. He said, but they're waking up. So, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah. So you know what the Almighty said in Zephaniah? He said, through the mouth of Zephaniah, wait on him. You understand? So when we talk about wait on him, he's preparing things for us for when we get out of here. When he shows us directly and guides us and cleans up that land, because that's what he's doing right now. I am so happy with this, you understand? I could scream sometimes because it's so, you know, we know if it don't be me, it's going to be my relatives because we're on the right road now. We're more closer to that 400-year mark than we've ever been, you understand?
Oh, yeah.
And it's got to make, a difference got to be shown. We the people that can show the difference. The Almighty said the righteous, we the people of righteousness. And how we gonna be, and how we conduct this thing, and if we do it in righteousness, you understand, the other nations will look at this and say, wow, here's a people that wasn't nothing 2 weeks ago, but look at them. Look at the progress he done made. And he'll make it happen because he's our God. He's our Elohim. You understand? He fashioned us up from the earth and made us, we look like, we, you know, whatever, however the thing goes, I'm stoning over myself, but it's all about the Almighty getting the glory from the whole earth. We got to look at that. And so he's making it happen, you understand? We're going to be the recipients of all the good that happens hereafter. We just got to stay in the way.
And you know what? Another thing I wanted to say before I forget is that we tend, and I can say that from the people that have come into this knowledge after I became conscious, I started telling everybody, all of my family members and everybody, you know, and some people have been in here and they study, and unfortunately, a lot of times, especially in Christianity, they try to create an alternative. Like Brother Yehoshua said, it's a machine. So they don't want to give up the working of the machine. They don't want to cut the machine off. So they'll say, how can we incorporate this into the machine and not really lose momentum with what we're doing, but add enough in it where it seems like it's the truth. And you know, and like you said, like both of you all said, even though we have time, everybody feels the urgency that we have time, but it's just enough time. And as I begin to tell people all the time, I say, you know, it's going to be sometimes as simple as whether you put the blood over the doorpost or not. And like we said in the other show, you know, some of the men didn't do that. They didn't put the blood over the doorpost. They said, Moses, crazy. We're not going to kill this animal. We're going to eat this animal in the morning. But guess what? Somebody died in that house, whether it was the husband or whether it was the wife or the children. That didn't mean that when they got ready to leave that those people weren't in the line with everybody else, because if there was ever a convincer, that was it. When they woke up that next morning and your wife was laying dead because you weren't obedient. And it's just like Lot's wife. I've heard so many people preach the message about Lot's wife that she was so consumed with Sodom and Gomorrah and the filthiness of Sodom and Gomorrah that she couldn't let it go.
But, you know, I thought about this, and the Most High brought this to my remembrance the other day. I thought about it when she looked back. She had other children there.
Okay.
Because lots of some, his daughters had husbands, and those weren't the ones who came out with him. It was the daughters who had never been with a man. So at some point, you have to make a decision of whether or not you're going to leave your family or you're going to save yourself. So all of it is going to play a part in it all, and it's like, wow, as you begin to understand how intricately woven all of this is, it's going to be whether you make the right decision or not. You're going to have to make a choice. And it's going to have to be made with the information you have, and you're going to have to look out for yourself. So even if your husband don't go, you're going to have to say, baby, I love you, but I got to go.
And I'm telling you. I'm telling you. It's a decision that you're going to have to make. You know, and it's not going to be an easy thing, man. They got all of these luxuries here. Woo! Man, enough to make your head spin around. It's going to be hard for people to cut that loose. You understand? But see, here's the major thing. The nation of Yehuda, if we play our cards right, you understand, they won't even recognize the subtleness of the change. You understand? They will merge right on into the nation of Yehuda, you understand, and go on about our business. You understand? You know, one thing about this think tank, you understand, we need to bring all of those proposals, you understand, that people have, you understand, and put them and categorize them, you understand what I'm saying? Because I believe that the Almighty going to give us the opportunity to use all of that stuff.
Yeah, you will. I believe
you understand? And if we categorize it and put it together, you understand what I'm saying? We bring it to the people and say, well, we got X amount of dollars. Which one of these industries do you think that we need to start up that's going to boomerang this thing, make it happen? Because, you know, it's all about us doing what the Almighty said. He said, gather the people. When he said gather the people, he's talking about the nation, not just Israelites, because when we got here, you understand, when we stepped our foots on this, we was a nation to the Almighty, regardless of our understanding, because we lost all of that being in that continent, in Africa, you understand? So we lost all of that, you understand? We came here, you understand? Now we just coming into our own, and the time is short. This is the Almighty's time. He gave us enough time to do what we need to do, and we can't afford to waste none of this time. You know, it says that you talk about it when you wake up and when you go to bed. And ain't nothing that we can't fix, you understand, if we work on it. It's only going to take them few little people that we got together to get the ball to rolling, you understand? And gradually the Almighty will favor this. We done it, doing it in the name of Yah. Hallelujah.
But I have to say, to your point, Sister Irene, about separation, we know, again, you know, we've heard the story many times, maybe from different people, and at different points in our lives, we have different levels of understanding. So we'll hear about the drive on, you know, and the question was asked, can these bones live?
Mm.
Well, yeah. So the matter is, not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them can. And we know that we're talking about different levels of death, okay? Because you can have death of the spirit. You know, you could be death of the mind. You could be on life support, but they say, well, you're in a coma or you're in a vegetative state or whatever. And then you have the physical body death where somebody else has to activate you, to move you around. If somebody else doesn't do something about it, you will just be in that particular position.
Mm-hmm.
But not all. And when we talk about separation, we have to understand what we've come to understand, that with separation, it don't always mean a simple I'll see you later. We're going to go our separate ways, or you have a nice conversation about it and shake hands and go on about your business. Sometimes the separation is by force. Sometimes you ripped apart, okay? Sometimes people are dragged away kicking and screaming, okay? People said with the union of male and female, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and it says there was no divorce, there was no separation, because if it's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh and you separate, you're going to rip my arm off. You're going to rip my heart out. I'm going to lose a leg or something because we joined together. It was going to be to give us an understanding of what it was going to cost you at this separation. It wasn't going to be without cost. It wasn't going to be without discomfort. But were you willing in going in your new direction and your new understanding, were you willing to sacrifice that or to give that for your new understanding, your new direction, your new idea, your new spirit? Were you willing to pay those prices to get there? Because it might cost you that. And so, you know, we would hope to bring everybody over to our way of doing things or ideas. I'm sure you love somebody in the church. Even in your family, I know all of us have been gotten to this point where there was a separation where we believe we understood. We say we're Israelites, and they say, no, you're not. You're Baptist. You're Presbyterian. No, you're not. You know, you're so-and-so from so-and-so. You ain't, you know, I know you. I gave you this name. You understand? This is how I know you.
Yep.
That's who you are. Well, I'm somebody else now. No, you're not. And so you said, well, okay. It's either going to be knocked down, drag out. We're going to be at each other's throats here, which is the purpose of good and evil, to create chaos, or there's going to be a separation. All right.
Yeah.
I would like for everybody to come this way, but they feel the same way about what they're talking about. I want you to come this way, stay over here, this way you came from, etc. So it's not without cost, not without consequence. But in terms of what we're willing to give for what we say we believe, then that becomes a question.
Wow. And I have a question for you, and I need some clarity because I'm glad. Because this came up this weekend, and I was really betwixt in between, and I couldn't answer. So I want to ask you all, you men, and those that are listening, the teachers and everyone, we know that sodomy is punishable by death in the Old Testament. It comes up again in the New Testament in Romans 1. Now, I have a question. Is there forgiveness for those people who have engaged in homosexual relationships and have committed sodomy? The men on men and the women on women, is there forgiveness for that, or is that absolute?
If you want my opinion, I think it's absolute. Because they say that you're supposed to stone them, you understand, so that they won't bring wickedness amongst the nation. You understand? So it doesn't have no gray area. Hallelujah.
And the reason, let me tell you why I asked that, because this weekend there was a couple that was getting married, and this question came up to me about these individuals that were getting married. They're not marrying same sex. They were marrying opposite sex, but one of the partners had been involved in a homosexual relationship. And I had a couple of people come to me and ask me, you know, does Yah forgive them for that, and are they able to be redeemed? Because you have a lot of brothers that are in prison that have involved themselves in sodomy relationships and coming out of – matter of fact, my nephew went to prison for 8 months. And when we picked him up, he came out and he said, Auntie, you wouldn't believe the stuff that's going on up in there. And when he started to explain, he was like, it's a lot of stuff like that going on in there. And these guys have beautiful wives, and they have pictures of their wives, and they're running behind these white boys, and they're doing all kind of abominable stuff. And then they get out, and they feel like that they can just turn around and be okay. What would you do in a situation like that, and is it forgiven?
I would have to say that, in terms of if we're going to define things in terms of good and evil or sinful or not, okay, to categories, because the way this thing has become, the lines have been blurred is because it's being defined on a lot of different fronts. But if we say good and evil, right, then it's cut and dry. That there's no, you know, there's no middle ground there. Okay. So now, but if we're going to say, in terms of sin, if we're going to say that some sins are greater than others, if we're going to say that some sins are unforgivable and some are, all right, then we're creating categories, okay? And we have to understand that. So when we're approaching this particular question and this particular subject, and it's interesting that you bring it up now because of how popular it's become. And I'm saying that to say that you can turn on, there are regularly scheduled television programs celebrating this. And there are programs even on the Disney Channel implying this and making it okay, okay, and presenting it as something that's not as harmful as it's been made out to be, okay? So it's creating a situation where the more you speak against it, it's one of those situations where everybody's looking at you like, what's wrong with you? Times have changed.
Right, exactly.
You know, exactly. Okay, so that kind of pressure is being applied around the world. In Uganda, Uganda was recently forced to change their laws regarding homosexuality by world opinion, by the United States pressing them to change their position. I think it was Nigeria and Uganda, if I'm not mistaken. There was two countries in Africa that were forced to change their laws about homosexuality to be in line with us, with the new perspective on this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to say sin and forgiveness, all right, if we say to do wrong, all right, okay, or to go against God, all right? So say, okay, homosexuality is greater than lying or stealing or murdering or covetousness or any of these other things that are in the sinful category. All right, if we're going to start separating, we have to be careful about what we're saying, how we're saying it, and why we're saying it. Okay, because again, said of all the trees in the garden, stay away from the ones who are good and evil, because this is the kind of situation that it's going to create. All right, where these kind of questions have to come up. Because before it was never a question that it was evil.
Right.
But you were given an opportunity, but if you recognize it and repent or change and sought forgiveness, then that opportunity would have to be afforded to you. All right? Not just, okay, well, not him because he did this, you know, it's sin, but he did this. Okay, well, you did this. Well, it's sin, but it ain't the same kind of sin. We're starting to qualify things. And in all of that, to confuse Mr. The Confusion, look at the power that has been given this movement. This movement now is a worldwide movement. People are openly and aggressively, not so much openly, but aggressively pushing against so-called straight situations, straight people under the guise of it's the law. It's against the law to do this, okay? Mm-hmm. It's against the law to do that now, okay? It's against the law. Mm-hmm. So now you have people who are doing things that are offensive to you, all right? But it's against the law for you to say certain things, to do certain things, okay? Or to mention certain things. It's against the law now. And so what happens is that that opposition or that resistance is continuously being weakened. And it's being accepted. I know you've heard people who had a different position before saying, well, it's all right if that's what they want to do. As long as they ain't bothering me, or if they go to church just like I do, they paying tithes. I mean, you're starting to get these kind of conversations now. Well, they all right. I know them. They ain't bothering nobody, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's less and less resistance, more and more laws. Okay, people are being forced to accept things they wouldn't otherwise accept. All of these, and even in the courtroom of this company who recently took a position on they weren't going to support birth control, they had to go to the court to determine if they had a right to do that. Okay, so now under man's law, people are forced to go with man's law and not God's law. That's what's happening. God's
okay.
law
well,
is a
I
non
mean,
effect.
I mean, I understand that part, and I get that clearly, but my issue
yeah.
is when man's law supersedes Yah's law, then
uh-huh.
there is a discrepancy there, because it's very clear in Leviticus that he says if a man is caught with another man, that they both should be put to death. I mean, that's
yeah.
the law. That's the law that we're supposed to follow. And then in Romans chapter 1, it talks about them leaving the natural order of themselves, and it also says in Romans that they should be put to death. And my position was to the person who contacted me this weekend, I said, I can't really speak on it clearly until I take it before the Most High and get some clarity on it, because when man's law supersedes Yah's law, then we have a problem. And my only issue is, you know, are they able to be forgiven if he says that it warrants the death penalty? Because it's not about one sin being greater than the other, because sin is the transgression of the law. So if we go back to the law in the Old Testament that breaks down what you can and cannot do, then what do we do in a situation like that? Because, for instance, when I was in Christianity, I had the ability to marry. I could marry people. But the way the law is now, because I'm not a Christian pastor anymore, I would never marry same-sex people. Even if I was, I would turn the license in and call it a day, because I'm not going to marry two individuals that are same sex.
Okay.
Yeah, well, here's a view. You understand? There is no gray area in the law. Unfortunately, we're in a punishment corner, and the punishment is not over with yet. We're going to see a lot of stuff that we ain't going to like. We're going to have to walk away from things that we don't like. I mean, that we thought was all right. We're going to have to do that. You understand? There's no gray area when we talk about the Almighty's law. We don't get a chance to speculate.
But again, these are the kinds of circumstances that come up when good and evil are present, or that when the tree of good and evil is the tree to which we have eaten from, okay? So that it's no longer clear and distinct. Witness the rising movement and momentum, okay, and the aggressive way that it's being pursued by law. Within the last, just this year alone, the how many times have you heard the issue about legislators and municipalities voting on whether this is going to be the law, or the governor having to decide what's going to be the law in this particular state, et cetera, et cetera. And
right.
that we see that state after state after state is making it the law. Okay? So for those of us who are able to see and understand and discern what's going on, we have the battle between good and evil in very realistic terms. You're absolutely right. It's described in no uncertain terms as being evil. And that was the prevailing idea for a long time. That's why people were in the closet. That's why people were trying to hide. That's why people were undercover. All right?
Okay.
Because as far as God's laws was concerned, okay, it was wrong. And then in a lot of these so-called the jurisdiction of men, it was the sodomy laws, all right, were in effect, okay? Now we look up and it's okay. Those laws have been done away with on man's side. They don't even talk about it on God's side. We're the only ones talking about it on God's side, or some of the few who are talking about it on God's side. All the conversation is on man's jurisdiction over this particular behavior. God is not, when was the conversation about God's law? Because it's like you said, in no uncertain terms, God's law was understood. So we'll just circumvent that with man's laws and just say there's a separation between church and state.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And as the brother mentioned, Joshua mentioned, you got all, you got the butt naked church. You got, you know, he mentioned a lot of, there's a lot of different churches. Okay, so we are obviously not talking about the same God. We have to keep that in mind too.
No.
All right, we ain't talking about the same God either.
That's why we had that. This whole system has to be totally annihilated. You understand? The Almighty said that he was going to turn the captivity right before our eyes. So guess who's getting the whipping now? Those Arabs that kept us captive also. Those Jews, those so-called Jews, those are ones that's going to be totally annihilated in that land. You understand? And we're going to walk right in there and take the rest of that stuff. You know? There's no sidestepping the law or anything. It's mm-hmm. written plain and simple. You understand? You don't get a chance to no guesswork.
And keeping with the conversation, we can't have this conversation and neglect to mention the Catholic Church. Okay, let's put
true.
Them in there where they belong. We cannot have this conversation and not talk about the Catholic Church. That is part of the foundation of the Catholic Church, and it continues to this day. And we have seen what it has wrought. Okay? Mm-hmm. We don't need to go through the whole conversation, but we have seen what it has wrought. Okay? They have protected, nurtured, proliferated, supported this practice from the beginning, and they continue to do so today.
Yep.
So I don't want to leave them out. I want to give them their just due.
Yeah.
Because offenders from here left this country and went to the Vatican in Rome, Italy, for protection.
Mm.
Okay? So that they could be protected from prosecution.
Oh, that ain't going to work.
Okay? So they... as it goes on, it's become that they've been moving around and covering people for years, all right? Now, it's just now that people are seeking retribution in terms of money, but still, what, they threw one or two people under the bus, but for the most part, nothing happened, and they went on about their business, and they continued with it as if, you know, hey, we're going on about our business as we usually do. So all of that. And that, but again, if we go to Revelation, it would say that these would be the conditions that we would meet. Mm-hmm. These would be the questions before us. These would be the circumstances before us in the end days. All right? We say hallelujah for that. All right? The end of something is the beginning of something else. All right? They said that, but in the end times, men would be like we just described. Situations would be as we previously described. Conversations and questions would be as we've been having today. All right. Mm-hmm. This is how we know what time it is. Okay, that this would have to be the end of an age of a civilization. I won't say civilized. the end of an age and a way of life, and the beginning of a better one. So this is why we say a better world. The premise of a better world is that this one ain't so hot.
Okay? That is correct.
And it should be a better world. Okay, so that period of transition, and we're witnessing it. It's also mentioned or described as in the last days or in the latter days or at the end of this world, etc. Not the literal end, but the end of an idea, certain ideas or ways of doing things or culture, as we mentioned, just every aspect of human interaction, but also in terms of so-called worship, because a lot of things are being worshipped other than the God of Israel.
Yeah. You know, this is, you know, it's a process, and we are in the process. We got to gradually bring about righteousness out of it all, because we the people of righteousness. You know, that's how we're going to be recognized. They supposed to give us, the nations around about us, you understand, they're supposed to give us praise and and glorify us because of our righteousness. You understand? That's where we at. We got to gain the favor of the Almighty, you understand, by doing right, you understand, putting together the nation of Yehuda and building the better world, you understand, so the other nations could look at us and see us, you understand, and see how righteousness really works. And the only way that we're going to get this here is that all of this stuff got to be destroyed. Because then they'll be able to see, they won't have no alternative, you understand, or very little alternative, because we're going to have some evil throughout the earth, you understand. That's why there's supposed to be a continuous, sin offering. It's going to be a continual sin offering for presumptuous sins, you understand. So... But this stuff is not going to happen. Righteousness cannot really spring forth until all of this stuff falls, and it's going to all fall. We ain't supposed to be able to look back like Lot's wife did, and pine for those particular things that we left behind. All we supposed to remember is not to be able to mess up so that we can go. Remember the captivities that we was in. We got to remember that and fear the Almighty. That's a fact too. Hallelujah.
Well, if that's the case, then, because I know in Atlanta, they said that Atlanta is the new gay capital of America, especially as it pertains to black people, then it's going to be a lot of dead people. I mean, it just really is. I mean, that's crucial.
Yeah, well, you got look at what's going on in the earth. You understand? You know, we're gonna have to. We remember now. We've put our forefathers forsook the Almighty, stepped all over His integrity several times. You understand? And He was upset with us. He didn't leave us though. You understand? He left mercy in place so that we do have some semblance of some savior, something to save our soul, you understand? He left us with discernment, us able to discern right from wrong, you understand? And we must do right. We must do right. We must do right. That's all we can do, you understand? And that's sticking to the laws, statutes, ordinances, and wherever that may bring us, you understand? Those are the things that the Almighty is going to love from coming from us. Hallelujah.
So then, what would you say to a young woman who is trying to convert herself and change around, and she comes to the knowledge that her husband is committed sodomy with a man? What kind of advice would you give her?
Well, here's one thing that we have to establish. We have to establish, you understand, a set of a righteous brother and sister that can give righteous determinations on cases. That they call that the elders, or they call that judges. You know what I'm saying? We have to have those in place, because these are the laws and things that got to be expounded upon, so that you know you bring them to that law, the judge and whoever. I know you're looking for an immediate answer, but there is no immediate answer, because you understand. Right now, I would suggest that y'all get some counseling. You understand? Go, stay with the counselor. You understand? But they got that all. They got this stuff rigged up, man.
Wait. The way now is contradictory, because if we just said that that's against the law, and that is punishable by death, you know, where is there room for counsel? Because if her husband is
I'm just saying. You understand? You know, because here we are in a captive state here. You understand? We under somebody else's governance and under their laws. You understand? And they say everything is all right. You understand? You know, and they do everything in this society here. You understand? So there is counseling if you want to go by those laws. You understand? But by our law, there is no gray area. And if we have a community, we're supposed to have judges or elders that we're supposed to be able to bring those things to and let them make a decision for the house of Israel.
Okay.
Brother
Prince
Elwine? Yes. I'd like to add, first of all, in terms of the woman who's involved, what's her position on it? What is her heart telling her about the situation? Is she saying she was duped? Is she saying she found out later? Or she found out too late? Or had she known, she wouldn't have done something? But, again, the issue becomes when you do know what you do, because it first starts with her decision, okay? Is your decision, is that a deal breaker for her? Did she say that?
Well, that's what came up this weekend, and they wanted to know, you know, what happens in a situation like that if she finds out and she doesn't know. You know, is there forgiveness in that area, or is the marriage over? You know, and I had to just tell them, you know, from Yah's law and from his standpoint, that is punishable by death. There is no gray area. That is a capital punishment in the state of Israel. In our government, with the laws that Yah gave us, that is punishable by death. So according to that, the marriage is over. I mean, when you have slept with another man, how can you? I just told him what the law said. I mean, that's all I could tell him, you know, in terms of that. I mean, because...
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The circumstances under which we're talking about this particular issue, we have to start with that individual. So you're saying she doesn't know as of this moment. Other people were discussing it, and she doesn't know, or they were wondering what would happen if she found out, or what should happen
if she finds out. Yeah, if she found out, what would be her position? What kind of advice would you give her?
Well, first I would start with her. Is that a deal breaker for her? Because what value base is she standing on? Because what we're talking about implementing, as Brother Donia just implicated, is that we just got through talking about what's lawful. Right now, what we're talking about is against the laws of the United States. All right? Okay. Now, what we're talking about is that in a place removed from the jurisdiction of these laws, if we were in that capacity according to what Leviticus is saying and we implemented that structure as a government or a social structure and it called for that punishment, all right, would we implement that punishment in that particular case? All right, but we would have to be in a place to implement that in order to even discuss determining if that would be the price paid. So essentially, what we're talking about, we're speculating, because as far as the laws in this jurisdiction, in this world, there's nothing wrong with that. That's choice. That's free will. Okay, now, all right, we're under that jurisdiction, so we have to abide by that. Okay, now, if we go somewhere and we implement Levitical laws call for this punishment. There is no room for, okay, so then it would be what we have the will to implement that punishment. But again, it's speculation. So that's why I ask the people, the sister that's involved or the woman that's involved, if she finds out, we first have to start with what she wants to do, because maybe it might not be that kind of deal breaker for her.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
I agree with you 100%.
And if we're talking about Levitical law under this jurisdiction, we're talking about murder.
Yep, that is correct.
Right. Well, we know we can't murder them. No, we knew we couldn't murder them, but they were just asking, you know, those questions in terms of does the marriage end if the woman is trying to come under the jurisdiction of the Hebrew Israelite belief and culture, and then she finds out that her husband has engaged in that activity, what advice would you give her? Would you continue to tell her to stay and to be active with him, or does that end the marriage?
As far as I would say to her that if it comes down to a question of if what you believe and the direction that you're going in and your spirit and your determinations are strong enough where you would say, I'm going with the Levitical laws and I'm separating from you. That would be, if she felt like that, then I would say to her, then you have every right to say that and to make that move. But if you don't, that's your decision. But if you're saying that you're strong in the understanding of what we're talking about as it relates to Levitical laws and the Old Testament, then it becomes a question of whether you're going to represent that when presented with this situation. So she's either going to choose to go with the Hebrew Israelite understanding on it or not, but it's got to be her choice under these circumstances.
And that's another thing too. Does the young lady recognize herself as being a Hebrew Israelite? You understand? Because
she's becoming conscious, and you know that was one of the questions that came up this weekend, and I just really couldn't. I mean, you know, all I could tell them, you know, was the law, according to the law. Now, the other situation was that the lady was getting married, and she was the one that engaged in the relationship with another woman, and she was marrying the opposite sex, but there was no proof that her other activity had stopped.
Uh-huh.
That's why we don't have judges to make a clear decision on those particular incidents, you understand, because that would need to be investigated. Or, you understand, if it's known to the congregation or the community, then they would be on the lookout for certain things that have happened, because we're not supposed to have unrighteousness or wickedness amongst us, period.
Right. And that's what I told her. The only thing I can tell you is that as far as we're concerned as a nation, we honor Yah's law as best as we can being in exile. And if that is one of the issues that you're dealing with, that is punishable by death when we are in our own land. And as far as I can see, there will be no way for you to continue in the state that you are in. So that's all I could tell her. And I didn't know. I said I was going to ask someone, and I just thought this would be the perfect forum to bring that up in. Because
You gave her good advice, but as with all advice, it's left with the individual whether they're going to accept the advice or act on it or not. And so, but that's the best advice that you could give under those circumstances because of the circumstances that we find ourselves in and under.
You know, one thing that I wanted to say, that there's another aspect to this here, is that if you decided and they kept it a secret, you understand, you would be, the Almighty has a way of revealing all of that stuff. Because evil is not supposed to be amongst us at all. You understand? We're supposed to, no unrighteousness is supposed to be seen amongst us, period. So it would be revealed. You understand? Those things have a way of revealing themselves. Hallelujah.
I think this has been good, and that we see that we have much to talk about, much to think about, and much to take into consideration given our present circumstances worldwide in 2014. And we have to be wise. We have to be understanding. But we also, as Sister Yahina was pointing out, we also have to be in a position to give direction and to give advice according to our understanding of the God of Israel. So we can see that there's much involved with this circumstance, and that there's a lot of work to be done, and this is part, and these kinds of discussions, these kinds of questions coming up big part in terms of us developing an approach to all things, because all things are going to have to be addressed.
That is correct.
Yes.
You know, I had all, you know, early on when I first started talking with on the radio station with Sister Yaina, I had mentioned that at some point, because we all have to be on one accord, doctrine and things have to be discussed. Now, I since have got a better perspective. We're going to have to go into the valley of Jehoshaphat. All them Judites, you understand, and we're gonna have to get the Almighty will give us the Spirit to show us the way that we should go. You understand? Because we got all of these different understandings and what they call, how they call his name, and make enough to make your head spin around. You understand?
Right.
Those things have to all be revealed to us. The Almighty has to break all of that stuff down. If there's going to be a Messiah, is there not going to be a Messiah, you know, what's the Messiah's name, all of that stuff going to be revealed to us. We first got to start gathering ourselves, putting things in place. Like I said, man, we're not going to go into the land all helter-skelter. You understand? When Ezra and them went into the land, they knew the Almighty. They knew what how it was going to work out, and they knew to build a temple and da-da-da-da-da. You understand? But this time, most of us don't know the Almighty. We got to represent the ones that know themselves. We the ones that got to represent, and especially the nation of Yehuda, because all the other nations supposed to come under us. We got to put it together. And it's not so much that it's hard. You understand what I'm saying? I think we just need to get the administration portion together, and all the other stuff will fall in place. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I'd like to say to Sister Yaina, to you, Brother Donnie, I certainly appreciate the conversation. And to the brother we spoke to, Brother Yehoshua, appreciate his input. And I hope that we have been able to add some understanding and some clarity to the listening audience. And as
Hallelujah.
I see the time has come to a close, grateful for this joint effort, the Nation of Yehuda and members of A Better World.
Hallelujah.
Solutions for our people based on our understanding and our love of the God of Israel. We look forward to next week. We certainly invite all the listeners to join us next week as we continue on our journey to get closer to God and to be in that land of milk and honey where the justice that God has deemed to be fit for man is what we govern ourselves by.
Yes.
So we say hallelujah, Toda and Sister Yaina. Always thanks to you for this opportunity.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Thank you so much, and we will see you guys on next Sunday. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Prince L. Ron, you want to make any last comment?
I do. I want to, again, thank you and thank the listening audience for continuing to search for ways for us to improve ourselves and for us to return back to a standard that is pleasing unto God. Our efforts are not going unnoticed, but they do have to be consistent. We do have to be sincere, and we do have to be willing to do all the things necessary in order to be in a position to receive the blessings that we seek. So words of encouragement, of hope, and we need each other. We need each other to reflect off of. We need each other to draw strength from. And we need each other as examples, okay, so that we can continue, because this is not an effort that is going to be not met with resistance. We have to be able to meet the resistance and overcome it. And so we pray for the strength, the wisdom, the understanding, everything that we need in order to be successful. Selah.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. See you on Sunday. Bye-bye.